Welcome to Comics,
episode
252.
This week, we talk about
Aria.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
Cut some of this up, but since you're joining us a little bit late, do you want to just get started on this week's comic?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
This week's comic.
This week we read Aria by Kozue Amano. We read the first volume, which collects the first five chapters, and this is our second episode in the arc with Alex, who is an aficionado of things that make you go, of course, only in Japan. And that doesn't mean just, like, the Kill la Kill costumes. It also means... And, Rage, I know that you really like this subgenre of Japanese manga, this slice of life kind of thing. And I know that's what you've called it. I don't know if that is that the official term, slice of life?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's something we don't have here in America, right? Like, I can't think of anything equivalent to this.
There probably is something, but I have trouble trying to find something too.
The closest you could say would be those mockumentary stuff like Parks and Recs.
Oh, yeah, that.
Where it's kind of them quote-unquote working. That's probably the closest I can think of off the top of my head.
See, but even then, that's like... That's a comedy, you know? Like, it's a mockumentary for the point of... Like, this doesn't even, like... It's not even trying to... It's not trying to make you laugh. It's not trying to do anything.
Well,
like,
this one isn't, but there are plenty of slice of life stuffs that do, like Yotsubato. Let's see, there's Yotsubato. There's I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying.
I love that so much.
That sounds like a fantastic
title. It's really good.
He's a huge otaku, and she loves him, but has no idea what comes out of his mouth. Because it's all... like jargon and just slang in the industry.
It's so like, sweet.
What? But yeah, she fully accepts it and she still loves him no matter what.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You will shed manly tears because it is just the sweetest thing ever. And it's only like what 5 minute shorts for each episode.
I've read the four, the yonkomas, the four panel stuff. I haven't watched the anime yet, but I really want to.
Do it. It's on Crunchyroll, and it's just... It will make your day.
See, and I think... Okay. Like, that sounds sweet and beautiful, and, like... The closest thing I can think of are, like, those Pixar animated shorts. And not the ones that are for a joke, but there's, like... There's one... an older one about, like, a piece of paper, a paper airplane a guy throws out his window. I don't remember what it's actually about. And it hits a woman, and he looks at her, and she looks at him, and it's obviously love at first sight, but she's on a train, and then it's gone, and like it's like following this paper airplane, and eventually they just kind of get... And it's just like this sweet little thing. Or like the beginning of Up, when it ends up with just like that first like 2 minutes, the story of the couple. If it was just that, like that kind of like little thing. I don't know. Like just something that's there and made and is beautiful and isn't there trying to do anything other than be there and be beautiful. I don't know. I can't think of an analogy, like an analogous thing for that.
That's true. I mean, in the Western world, I feel like we only get like little art films for it, but nothing like what Japan does. 'Cause it's true. Like our slice of life is more comedy focused, but like one of my favorite slice of life comics and shows for manga anime is called Usagi Drop, and it's about a guy who ends up taking care of his 6-year-old aunt because grandpa got frisky, So he's just like an office worker. He's our age, and he's landed with this 6-year-old child with no wife. You know, like he doesn't have a girlfriend. He was completely unprepared for this, and it's just him navigating the difficulties of fatherhood.
I think the best part with that of that story is he willingly takes it on. Like his grandpa dies, and because the girl was made out of wedlock when he, you know, cheat, you know, just got, like she said, got frisky. The entire family, they're just talking down about her, wondering how they can get rid of her and stuff. And he just stands up and he basically says, "You're all bastards. I'm taking her, and we're gonna do this." And it was like fantastic, fantastically done. I thought
that's cool. So what? I don't know. I have the only familiarity I have with Japanese culture is from things like Gundam. So I obviously can't speak to this in any kind of real way. But what is it about Japanese society that this is a thing that not just exists but flourishes? Like, I don't know. It's one of those questions I have. Like, and Japan's fascination with technology and so much of its culture. But this comes from something that seems uniquely Japanese, and I don't know enough about Japanese people to like have any idea why this would be.
I'm gonna go out on a
theory.
Okay, oh. We got multiple theories. Let's hear them.
Okay,
Jen, you can go first.
Okay, so my theory is that because Japanese culture is so much more accepting of animation than we are, that means cheaper production values, which means that it's a lot easier to go out on a limb. And I feel like that gives them a lot more leeway when dealing with genre. And they have a much wider spread of genre than we do because of that. Because if you look at Western TV, there are only kind of certain genres that air. And a lot of them follow the genre formula pretty strictly. And that makes sense because you only want a safe bet. If you're going to be investing your money in making a show, you really don't want it to flop.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, anime, sometimes the animation can be outsourced to a third party in a cheaper country. Or just the fact that you don't have to have it be live action makes it significantly cheaper to make. And I think that allows for a lot more experimentation because people aren't so worried about losing their entire investment on a flop.
Legit. Kind of like that idea. Look, and that goes back to what you're saying. Like, and here in the United States, we get like art house films that are kind of like this, but it doesn't really go much beyond like the college filmmaker. what were you thinking, David?
Oh, so maybe I misunderstood the question a little bit, but I was thinking, why is this kind of story popular? Well, we don't have that necessarily here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm going out on a limb here, but maybe it's because, you know, in Japan, you see a lot of people are really focused on their careers and spend a lot of time working in the offices, particularly the like salaryman type of person. And I know a lot of them go to like these manga cafes to relax and it's a lot for a lot of them. It's where their downtime comes in, and it's an escapism out of their typical day to day. But it's not like a crazy, you know. It's more of a smaller step out of their normal routine than say like something like Gundam or you know another, you know, and yeah. a more extreme example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, that's just speculation on my part.
No, and I think you might be kind of onto something, because my immediate thought was like, okay, full disclosure, I read this comic on the job, and I was like, well, if I'm going to be reading this and not working, I work on a university campus, I'm like, I'm going to go out to the lawn. So I went out to a lawn on the opposite side of campus so nobody at work would see me, and I just sat on the lawn on a nice sunny day and read this comic. And that was a nice experience as a whole, like, fulfilling thing for me. It was nice. But on the flip side, you're right. Like, for a lot of people in, like, very urban centers, which there's a lot of in Japan, the idea of just going out and lying on the grass might even be difficult to a certain extent. So a comic, a manga like this might even kind of not replace that, but help bridge that gap a little bit. Like, you know, you've got a lunch break and you can just sit in the break room and talk to your shitty coworkers, or you can read this and let it breathe in your mind for a little bit and let it calm you down. I think, Alex, you sent something from Reddit. Somebody called it part of the healing genre, and I like that term a lot.
Well, because if you read this, it's really slow. There's no, what do you call it? There's no, like, tension. There's no one's going to die. There's no invasion. Like, even though there are multiple...
Akatsuki's a bit of a dick.
He's that, and that's really the worst you get.
Yeah.
Akatsuki's kind of a dick, and Aika can be really brash at times, but that's the worst you get.
Yeah, and that's just people.
And that's just them. Yeah, that's just them being people. Like, there's no, like, even though there are multiple gondola companies, there's no, like, competition, or there's no, I guess, dwelling on competition. There's no, you know, Aria Company is literally the two people. They could get bought out any time in the real world.
Yeah,
but it's literally just them doing their thing.
And we're told multiple times that Alicia is one of the best Undine in the entire city. And she works for a company with, like, what, two of them? Like,
she was the sole proprietor for a while until she took on Akari.
Like, yeah, somebody would just buy her out. If it were the real world, somebody would just buy her. And then she would leave and start another company and somebody would buy her.
You know, she has her own, she works for a company, so maybe they pay her well. I mean,
yeah.
The cat is the president, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But didn't it also say every company or every gondola company has its own cat president?
Every gondola company has a cat president.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is that is also very Japanese, I think.
I love it.
So yeah, we started talking about the subgenre. We didn't even talk about, like, the I guess you could say plot of this story. I don't know, but the idea is that Mars was terraformed and they terraformed it too hard. And there was more water than they expected. And instead of Earth, they got Waterworld. And so they built Venice.
Well, it's not quite as bad as Waterworld.
Yeah, not quite.
It's not quite as bad, but they literally renamed Mars to Aqua.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was so much water. And so there's this... They remade Venice, and in this remake of Venice, of course, you have the gondolas, just like you have in Venice here. And... So there's it's this weird mix of future and, you know, sci-fi kind of elements, but I think in the comic it says that Mars is 100 years behind Earth, so it is the future, but it's still kind of like a rustic-y future. It's, I don't know.
It's the future, but if you look around, it's kind of our present.
Yeah. Our present with a couple tweaks to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have weather control systems.
Yeah.
In case anyone was curious about that. That's the main difference to me.
I don't know. Global warming's not real. I think there's a couple balloons up there with computers in them.
It's the chemtrails.
guys dress as ninjas.
Yes. So talking about the premise of this, I also... I was sitting there thinking while I was lying on the grass and not working. Thank you for paying your taxes, guys. I was thinking about how this is an entirely different way of doing science fiction. Because in Western, this comes back to kind of our discussion we had just a minute ago. In Western science fiction, and I guess you could say American science fiction, the premise of the idea of the genre of sci-fi is you take society, you know... fast forward it a little ways, and you give it a technology that changes the way the society works, and you show us the implications of that change. Except usually it's also accompanied by robot invasion, AI overcoming and destroying everything like Terminator, or it's the replicator, and therefore there's no greed, and then you get Star Trek with fucking starships and Romulans and Klingons, and the pure idea of sci-fi, of fast-forwarding the society and adding a technology or two and looking at the society and how it changes on a day-to-day level, doesn't really exist, because it always has to be wrapped in some super thrilling or super catching other genres. So it's like a sci-fi thriller, sci-fi mystery, sci-fi action, adventure, sci-fi this type. And it's never just pure sci-fi. And maybe the slice of life is a really good way to communicate pure sci-fi. Like, what if we terraformed Mars? Odds are it wouldn't be as advanced as Earth because it's way the fuck over there. You know? And what would just being alive in this other world every day be like? I don't know. I'm a huge sci-fi fan, and so I like to think about sci-fi as a genre and how it exists, and this comic made me think about it differently.
What I think is kind of funny about it too is that it's not just the sci-fi aspect of a terraformed Mars, but a terraformed Mars where people purposefully keep their technology lower and make life at once like simpler and more complicated. Because in that first issue, we meet that tourist from Earth. Crotchety
old man.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, everything's so inconvenient here. You have to make your own food and do your own laundry and, you know, clean stuff. And then he comes to understand that those simplistic things are part of what makes the planet and life there so beautiful. And he's like, oh, I'll come back for the buttered potatoes. It's just kind of this really sweet moment where you see this like sci-fi point of view, but then it's also reminiscent to what we actually have today.
Yeah, the slow down, take a look. And the idea of turning your cell phone off and stepping away from technology voluntarily and doing things a different way. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I could spend every day rowing around in a gondola and get, like, paid enough to live, I would happily throw my cell phone in a river.
Yeah.
I don't know, the way it's presented, that if they didn't constantly point out the sci-fi stuff, it slipped my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
And there's kind of an aspect of fantasy, too, but it's just ingrained. Like, when they meet, they see the fox wedding.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, it's the Japanese term for sun showers. Yeah, it's just kind of like a sweet metaphor, but it's also literal, and it just fits in the world, right? Like, all you're really doing is looking at this person leading a really fulfilling life, and it's just, it's pleasant.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe that's kind of like the sci-fi message this one holds, that even if you live in a really awesome high-tech future where you have the power to entirely transform planets, it's like the little things that we do day to day in everyday life that make things so nice.
Yes.
That's kind of the central theme of the entire manga, is it's just kind of, sometimes you just need to stop and look around and slow down and enjoy what you have and what's around you. And that's what I think makes it really soothing and really, like, really calming. Because Akari can find the silver lining in anything and turn it into something beautiful. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That's
a big chunk of what carries this comic, is that main character's personality. The ability to just be, like, relentlessly charming.
You know what it is, too? It's that she takes not just bad situations, but like the normal situations that you would normally not even think about, because they're not good, right? You're not happy, but on the other hand, they're not angering you. They're not calling for your attention, and she just lives in them and is like, this is awesome. This is good. Like, when they're just stuck waiting on the bridge, and like, at first, you know, you wouldn't mind if the person's like a little bit late, but she's like, oh, waiting gives me an opportunity to, you know, look out over the bridge and
enjoy the
gondola,
the scenery.
Yeah, the marathon at the end, the race. She's like, I didn't want to finish early so I could keep doing it. And then when she's washing her boat, like,
yeah,
when you wash your car, do you think, like, very in-depth about it? Probably not. it's just a day-to-day task, but she draws it out so that she can spend time appreciating the moment.
And I like that not only does she draw it out, because she's drawing it out, the comic does. Like, that issue, the whole issue is just her cleaning the gondola. You know? And, like, I love the analogy of washing a car, because I'll tell you right now, I've owned a lot of cars, and the only ones I've ever washed by hand were the first Corvette that I owned, and my old Mercury, and I used to own a 63 Mercury Monterey, and those are the only two I ever washed by hand. And that's one of those things where I started out like, okay, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to have a good time, and I'm going to enjoy this, and I'm going to baby my car. And, like, halfway through, I was like, fuck, can this be over already? You know? And I went into it trying to be like her, and I couldn't carry it all the way through. And so I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where you have to appreciate somebody's relentless effort of spirit. And like, you can just keep trying to do that in some ways, but it's going to be tough.
So how did you guys feel after reading this comic? Did you feel healed? Did you feel saved you?
So when I was reading this on my lunch break today, I texted Andy and I was like, Andy, this is the weirdest thing I've ever read. Or something like, this is the weirdest manga.
Yeah, you said this is a really fucking weird manga.
But I think I'd only read the first two chapters at that point.
Yeah, so all she did was meet an old man and clean the boat.
Yeah, by the time I got to the end, especially after the, you know, the fox wedding and the marathon, I you know, it was a very pleasant experience. And I kind of slowed, I did slow down while I was reading it. And the art in this, especially the, I guess you would call the equivalent of like a splash page. The art is really, really good in this.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's fantastic.
I think that's, you know, this one could argue that the stories aren't anything special, or they're not super strong. But, you know, combined with the art, you know, it's an urban setting, even though it's like an old time urban thing. It's the, the atmosphere you get from the art is kind of idyllic, you know. The whole idea of, you know, going on a gondola and rowing, and it's supposed to be a relaxing ride, and so you're going on this relaxing trip with the characters.
Ooh, yeah.
And it really comes through in the,
I didn't even catch that.
In the art. You know, because it's all these, you know, there's never, you know, somebody could definitely go in the direction of like, there's a storm and what are all the, you know, what are the gondola rowers gonna do? But that doesn't come up. The most hectic thing is the marathon. And in that, she stops to help somebody else out with the oranges that fall into the water. And so it's this, you know, even when she's terrified and lost, maybe not terrified, but when she's lost on the island with the Japanese themed island, it's still like a beautiful scene that she's in. You know, the artist could use the, you know, you could use a forest setting and make it dark and scary to lend itself to a certain atmosphere, but it doesn't go that way, you know. Even though she's scared, a little bit scared that she's lost, she continues to, I think she continues to enjoy the setting, you know. And that really comes through, that came through to me towards the end. And it's something that kind of goes throughout the whole thing. So, but I thought, you know, I don't know how I would describe how I felt at the end, but I think it was still, it was a good experience and, you know, I didn't feel stressed out or anything like that afterwards, so I guess it succeeded.
Yeah, I think. And I mean, I
that was that's the point of the story.
And I mean, the art, like, I mean, we all quickly say, "Oh yeah, it was fantastic." But like, I said how the main character carries the story, but the story carries her back. Like, there's those scenes where she'll say, it just feels so good to be sitting here today. And she's just kind of reflecting. And if the next panel was just like a kind of half-assedly drawn panel, it would just seem like she was dim and and lazy. But because after she makes that reflection, the next page is a full-page, beautiful view of this city, and it's gorgeous. The art is just wonderfully drawn. Because as she's sitting there, and you know she's looking at that view, and you can also soak in the craft of that artwork, it helps the character not seem unrealistic. Like, this she cannot exist. This woman does not exist in reality. I dare anyone to show me the real version of this woman. It does. She's not here. She's not real. She can never be. But the thing that makes her believable in the context of this story is how good this art is and the scenery of the world that she lives in. Like, if I lived there, maybe I could be her. Maybe I could finish washing my damn car. Maybe. It's the only thing that makes it believable is this fantastic art.
Yeah, I don't think we ever once see her be negative. Like, sometimes confused, but never negative. And you definitely get the sense, like, well, if I was there, maybe I wouldn't either. Yeah. Because, you know, every time something bad happens, she looks up and there's, like, birds overhead and beautiful clouds and a sunset, and it's just like, aw. That's nice.
Yeah. So, we all read Scanlations, right?
Yeah.
Did that take you out of it, Jen? Because I think you're the one who messaged it and was like, does anybody have a better place to read this from?
Yeah, I mean, I've read worse. We've all read worse. But this was pretty clunky. And especially for the first two volumes, when I was still trying to figure out what kind of manga this would be and, like, who the characters were, it was just, like, the issues with, like, subject-verb agreement and comma splices and just really wacky phrasings.
Yeah, there were tense problems all over there, too.
Yeah. And some of it, too, I actually really, it's one of my pet peeves when translators leave in a lot of the Japanese and, like, translate it from kanji into romaji, but don't explain. So, like, a pretty common one is kawaii, because a lot of Westerners understand that. This one I saw a lot of, there was kawaii, there was, I think, ara. And then, yeah, and then Nani. And I was just like, oh, come on, just write what? Write the word what?
Yeah.
I don't like it. I feel like it's a little too cutesy, fangirly, I guess, when people do that. But, I mean, that's a personal preference. A lot of internet translators do that. And I don't mean to sound ungrateful, because I couldn't read it if it were just in the Japanese, and someone took time out of their day to do this for free. So obviously I'm glad someone did it. I just, sometimes, like, a Scanlation done in a specific way or with bad English can really pull me out of it.
Okay.
Yeah, there was some pretty clunky sentence structure in there that made me raise my eyebrow and read it again.
Yeah.
So then,
but that's Alex, not the fault of the manga itself.
No. Alex has a counterpoint. Because sure. I brought this up, and Alex, I brought this up when I was talking with Alex about it at lunch, and he was like, it doesn't seem that bad.
Well, I'm not reading it from an English, like, see, me, English do good. I'm not reading it from an English background point of view. I'm just kind of reading it. That sounds kind of weird, but when, like, ara ara.
Like, you don't notice or don't mind the grammar mistakes as much as we do.
I don't really notice it. I don't mind it. Like, ara ara, that is Japanese, and they could have probably tried to translate it, but that really only translates to, like, well, well. Whereas in Japanese, I think Ara Ara has a lot more versatility. So she could be saying well, well, or, you know, there, there. She could be saying a lot of different things with Ara Ara.
Yeah.
And I just, the sentence structures never bothered me because I still got the full effect of the scenes and what they were trying to convey.
Okay. And that's definitely fair. I think I'm just nitpicky because I do read a lot of Scanlations. And a lot of them kind of do this thing where they give you the more literal translation. And so a common thing is, like, phrases about inconvenience are often in manga. Mm-hmm. But that's not something we normally say in English. And a lot of people who, especially, like, more diehard people who like subs, will really disagree with me. And this is totally a matter of opinion. I'm one of those people who wants the translation to just be, like, shoved into English. And I know that there are so many Japanese idioms that just do not translate. But transliteration just doesn't do it for me, because I like the translations where even if they're off a little, they flow. But that's just me, and I know a lot of people don't like that, so.
Well, I kind of agree, because one of the big offenders of that is the term, it can't be helped, which is a huge thing. Yeah. It's a huge thing in Japan where it's just kind of like, you know, shrug. Well, that's how it goes, you know. Like, for us to be, that's where the cookie crumbles, or, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, they take it literally, and they say it can't be helped. So in an English way, it's weird. In Japanese, it's perfectly all right.
It's actually super funny that you mentioned that one, because that is one that so does not translate well in any context that my boyfriend and I have just taken to being like shikata gunai at each other when we're in that situation. Because it's like, you know how German has a million words for expressions that just aren't in English? Like, verklempt. You know, you'd need a lot more words than one to say it. But shikata gunai, it just summarizes the situation and it does not translate well.
Yeah, and I think there's the constant, like, the other thing Alex and I were talking about was the idea of, okay, well, if you really want to get the best experience of this comic, you should read it in the original Japanese, because then you'll get all of the nuance that a translator can't capture, which is true. But at the same time, a good translator can carry over, you know, if reading it in the natural Japanese, you get 100% of the nuance, a good translator can carry over 85 or 90%, right? But a bad scanlation maybe brings over 50. Aside from the nitpicks about grammar and it taking out of the story and having to reread, the biggest problem is that a bad translation means that you're not even getting a significant fraction of the quality that this comic could be delivering to you. Like, we're reading the words, we know what the gist is, and this phenomenal art is helping out a lot. And so we can get it, and we can get the feeling and the vibe that it's supposed to put across. But there might be something that's just phrased beautifully in Japanese that could be translated pretty easily if somebody were fluent in both. But it's not. And that's what you really, really miss out on. And there's some other stuff we talked about, too. Like Rage mentioned, somebody translated, like, the three levels of gondola driver. What was it? Undyne, one glove, two glove, and no glove.
Yeah, in the Tokyo Pop translation, I felt they really did a disservice, because in the Aria world, you have three levels. You have, like, the beginner, the medium, and then, like, full-blown Undyne. And they're called, and they're referenced by their gloves. When you have both gloves, you're a pair, which means you're a beginner. When you take one glove off, that means you're on your way. You're almost there. And then you pull off the gloves, and then you're called either an Undyne or a Prima.
So it's pair, single, and Undyne, or pair, single, Prima.
Yeah. But what Tokyo Pop did was they just straight up said apprentice journeyman full-blown Undyne. And I feel that takes a lot away from the world, because those words were made for kind of for that world. Yeah. And when they change them, yeah, it kind of loses some of the charm.
Yeah.
And that's the difficulty with translation, because you have to be very careful that you don't get rid of something that is part of the world building or part of the plot. Because the whole time they're like single, and then when they finally got to the point where I found out what they meant when she kept saying, "Oh, I'm a single now," I was like, "Oh," you know, and it was like a good reveal.
And I like that it wasn't explained in issue one. It waited until it was explained just in the course of her day. I like that this comic didn't feel the need to explain everything right away.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to interject that.
No, it is a nice point. The thing about translations... Oh, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that's part of the beauty of this manga is... It slowly peels the layers away, and as you learn more and more about the world, it gets more and more beautiful.
Yeah, it does. The thing I was going to say about translations is it's really impossible to have a true translation, because even if you're fluent, that work is written for people within the culture, like, who know it, who know the nuance, and not just the idiom, but also, like, the society around it. But at the same time, a good translation, as Andy said, will get you most of the way there. It's just kind of like one of those interesting and difficult things about translation, because I will never be Japanese, I will never have grown up Japanese, so, like, if I read a translation of, like, a high school manga, maybe one day I'll be able to read it fluently, but I'll never, like, know, right? Just kind of one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the dilemma. I mean, you can translate it exactly, but then your target audience for the translation might not get the nuance of what you're trying to say, so then you change the word to apprentice, and, you know, Americans know the word apprentice, and they know what it means, and no explanation necessary. Like, okay, great, you gave me that in issue one, but, like, in issue four, she explains it for me, so you could have just...
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I felt.
I know I'm American, but I'm not that impatient. I bought the whole volume.
Yeah, I felt that was a little insulting, where they say apprentice in the beginning, and then later on she explains it, whereas if you just kept the verbiage from...
Prima.
Yeah, if you just kept the verbiage from the world, she'll explain it, and then it's almost... It's almost more, God, I'm sorry, I love this manga so much. It's more beautiful, because it's it's like another piece of the world that you're learning.
Yeah, and it's a piece of the world building that you've taken apart through the translation. Anyway, we've talked about translation a lot. Do you guys want to rate this?
Sure.
All right. Alex, you get to go first, since last week you went last.
All right, well, I'll be blunt. This is one of my favorite, if not... the favorite manga of mine. It's a 5, straight up. I like it how it's slow paced. I like how there's no real drama. There's no real tension. It's literally this wide-eyed girl running around and just enjoying every day of her life. And for some reason, I find that beautiful. And It is a healing, to me, it is a healing manga, because like David, you said earlier, after you put it down, you felt calm, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is something, the manga and the anime, this is really something that you probably should read after a bad day. Because it's just how easygoing and how beautiful it is, and how it'll just bring you down. It's they call it a iyashike, which is Japanese for healing. It's like a subset. It's like a subsection of the slice of life, because there are a bunch of manga that do that, and this is probably considered one of the best ones in that subgenre, in terms of bringing you down or making you feel like just calm and serene. So I absolutely love this, and I really hope you guys continue and read the entire thing, because it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I can skip out on work an hour again tomorrow. I mean, if the weather's nice. David, how about you go next?
This is tough to rate, because it's, you know, it's kind of, it's very different from most of the things that we read, or even things that I read, but, you know, I had a good experience, so I'm going to give this a 4. You know, I didn't really like the issue with the sighing bridge. I was like, what is this? That's the one that kind of pulled me out a little bit. But the other chapters were good. Like I said earlier, when I read the first two initially, I didn't really understand what I was reading. But by the time I had finished, I realized that I really enjoyed the experience of reading it. But, you know, it wasn't perfect. I didn't like the issue with where she's waiting at the bridge. So that's going to ding the score a little bit for me, so 4. But, oh wait, let me finish. The art was excellent, and I really think that can't be said enough. Even though it's black and white, and manga is usually, the beauty and skill in the art really comes through, despite the lack of color. So
yeah, all those beautiful 4. Bright red Tory gates. Which he's on the island talking about other beautiful shade of red. I'm like, okay.
Well, they are red. I mean,
no, I know, red. I know. It was just, it made me laugh a little bit. I'll go next. I'm going to give this a 4.5. Maybe I don't know enough of the slice of life genre. I enjoyed this. But I also know, on the one hand, we don't have slice of life here, but I also know that there's kind of like a glut of slice of life in Japan. Like, my favorite example is Char's Daily Life, and it's Char from Gundam. It's slice of life with the Gundam antagonist, and it's like, okay, I appreciate that something like Arya is beautiful and well received, but I don't know if you're gonna get that with Char. And I don't feel that it's necessary, and I have it downloaded, so I'll read it and I'll let you guys know maybe if that's any good. But I feel like I am not getting the proper sense of this manga because of the bad translation. And I know that there's an anime, and the anime is also supposed to be really spectacular. And I don't know if it's drawn by the same hand. I have to look that up. But yeah, I'm going to give this 4.5. It's really pretty, and I like the main character. I don't know how you cannot. You can say she's unrealistic, but like I said, any doubt that you have that such a person could exist is washed away with the setting and with this city that she lives in and the beautiful art that carries it. So yeah, 4.5. Jen?
I'm going to give it a 4. I feel like for a lot of manga, even the very best series, it takes more than a volume to get into them, but I didn't have that here. I just enjoyed it from the start. I will say slice of life is probably one of my favorite genres, and this compares very well to other items in the genre that are even remotely similar. So I think I don't know. Like, I was having a kind of rough day, and I read this afternoon after work, and I walked away being like, you know, life is pretty good. And it was because of the comic, right? Like, I was all like, going into it, and by the end, I was like, nah, everything's cool. So, like, it actually worked well on me.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it really is gorgeous. I like how they do the, like, red gate thing, or, like, the rainbow. Like, here's some shades of gray. Look at this beautiful rainbow.
Yes, that one, too. But, I forgot about
you know,
that
in a medium that's limited to being black and white, that's a decent way to get around it. So it wasn't as bad as some examples I've seen. I will say I gotta agree with David on the Whispering Bridge one, and I think that was 99% an issue, the scanlation, because I feel like the weird character quirks would have been transferred better if the English had been something that flowed better, and also like the historical explanation of the bridge would have just been not so fucking weird if it hadn't been in like broken English. So there's that. But yeah, 4. I really enjoyed this.
Awesome. Sorry, I'm going to cut that out for sure. So, okay, cool. That was Aria. And after last week, when we constantly interrupted ourselves to talk about One Punch Man, I don't know how we can continue this series without watching One Punch Man. So next week, we're going to watch One Punch Man. It's not on the website. It will be by the time you hear this episode. So I'm sorry if you were really looking forward to reading Assassination Classroom with us. We'll do that next week. We'll do that the week after. But next week, we kind of got to watch One Punch Man, because David will kill us if we don't.
Well, I mean, so, even if... I'll just watch One Punch Man anyway.
Regardless of what we do. So there's only 12 episodes out right now. We're going to watch the first 6. They're all, like... They're the 20-minute variety. They're not, like, the hour-long variety of episodes.
Yeah, and they... And there's not... There's a overarching story that continues through all 12 episodes, but if you watch just the first 6, you still get a good idea of what the show's about, and you won't... Each episode is a self-contained story, so I think it's fine to watch just the first 6.
Okay, so we're going to do the first 6. I really wanted to get to Puri Puri Prisoner after the gift that you sent me the other day. But he doesn't show up until episode 8, and I don't want to commit us to watching like all 12 episodes that are out yet. But I'm probably going to watch all 12 because Puri Puri Prisoner looks awesome.
He's so, my favorite.
I will get there, but we don't have to for the show. So that's next week. One Punch Man, the anime, the first 6 episodes. What are they called? The Strongest Man, The Lone Cyborg, The Obsessive Scientist, The Modern Ninja, The Ultimate Master, and The Terrifying City. We're going to watch those 6. I don't know where you can watch them. Just Google One Punch Man streaming. There will be a link on the website at welcometocomics.com. So go there, everybody. All right, until next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.